For many years, there hung over the fireplace in my den the fading graduation picture of Roger Landry. On his coat, there was a pin inscribed with these words, Medal for Excellence in Bookkeeping, awarded by the Bowling Green Business College, May 30th, 1899. In a wicker trunk, along with other family memorabilia, are three love letters that tell the tragic story of Roger and Daisy. How Roger Landry came to be a student at a business college in Kentucky is a commentary on place and times. If a young man from South Louisiana had his eye on education beyond high school or training for a profession at the turn of the 20th century, going away was the only option. The state legislature had approved the establishment of Southwestern Louisiana Industrial Institute, now known as the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, but several years would pass before the school became a reality. It isn't clear how Roger knew about a business college 800 miles and several worlds away from his hometown, Lafayette, which is nestled on the banks of the murky, sluggish Vermilion River, or what he hoped to do with his newly celebrated bookkeeping skills. All that is known is he did well in school, and he was scheduled to receive his diploma on the next-to-last day of May in the next-to-last year of the 19th century. After his picture was taken, but before he walked across the stage and was handed his diploma, Roger received a desperate communication from his family, urging him to come home immediately. There had been an outbreak of a fever in South Louisiana, and his mother, father, and one of his sisters were seriously ill. His diploma would have to wait. He took the next train home. Roger left more than his diploma in Bowling Green. He also left Daisy, a young woman he had met when he arrived in Kentucky, and with whom he had fallen in love. When Roger got home, he wrote to her. His letter, and the one she wrote in reply, suggest that their relationship was entering treacherous waters. The issue was her feelings for one of his teachers, a man whom he referred to as Prof. Roger expressed his concerns in strong terms and signed his letter, Your Friend. Daisy, on reading his accusations, was more frightened than angry. Didn't I explain to you my regards for him rather lightly? I don't want you talking to me like that anymore. You made me have a hard spell of the blues. Now aren't you sorry? What Daisy did not know was that by the time her letter arrived, Roger was dead. So was his mother. His father and sister survived the fever. Roger contracted it and died. Daisy's letter arrived in mid-June. One of Roger's sisters took it out of the mailbox, but wasn't sure what to do with it. It was addressed to him. Should she open it? What if it was personal? What if it was intimate? She put the letter on top of her chest of drawers, and as the weeks of summer passed, forgot about it. But Daisy did not forget. June passed into July, and July into August, and no word came from Roger. September came and went. Finally, fearfully, she wrote to him. Saturday's mail has arrived and been distributed, and still you've not written. Roger, this is beyond my understanding, to be treated as forgotten by one in whom I have felt so much confidence, and for whom my affections have grown more and more sincere each day. I feel confident that I have not offended you in my writing, and yet your actions puzzle me. I shall not write you a longer letter until I have some explanation. That letter arrived in the first week of October. Perhaps it was the handwriting that looked familiar to Roger's sister. Perhaps it was Livermore, Kentucky, in the return address. She opened the envelope, read the letter, and the sad story unfolded before her eyes. Immediately she wrote to Daisy, telling her as kindly as possible that the dear boy, from whom she had been waiting word, was dead, had been dead for 5 months. In reply, Daisy poured out her grief. She said she had put away her pictures of Roger. I cannot stand to see them. Did he say anything about me? My brightest hopes are shattered. Fall came to Livermore, Kentucky that year. 78 winters followed. If my research is correct, Daisy died in 1977. She was 93 years old. she never married.